on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction. So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them. Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the mountain and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The reading from the New Testament is Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, suddenly the bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, this is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Thus ends the reading.
Thank you, Margot. Friends, let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for your word, for the disciples, for those who have gone before us. May we learn that which they learned, avoiding their mistakes. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. This week, I am extremely thankful for my family, which is Center Congregational Church. In a time of great need, the Speck family has lent me a Subaru so that I can be a 100% bona fide Vermonter. I've now passed the mustard. This week I am in great need because on a visit last month to Patmir, a deer jumped out into the road and hit my vehicle. So this rather unfortunate incident has rendered my pride and joy in the shop for over 2 weeks, and thus I would otherwise have no ride if it wasn't for the specs. Now, this unfortunate incident makes me wish that I would have had my car blessed by our neighbor, Father Justin, at St. Michael's. I have been dealing with many adjusters, insurance companies, and auto body shops, and because of all of this, you know, I wish I would have had someone bless my vehicle. But this wishing to have my car blessed reminds me of a story. a Catholic priest was approached by a congregant who asked if he could get his new car blessed. "Sorry, son, the church doesn't do that anymore," the priest said. "But Father, there's surely something that you can do." So the priest rummaged around and found an old prayer book from yesteryear. He found such a prayer of blessing and reluctantly offered a prayer for the congregant's car. A week later, the car ran into a deer and was totaled. And the priest tried to avoid the congregant as long as he could. But then, after a mass, there was the congregant right in front of the priest. And the priest thought frantically and then said, "Son, you remember that prayer, that blessing I did for your car? Well, it didn't cover deer." Ba-da-ba! Just like insurance policies, prayers need to try to cover all the bases. Well, friends, let's talk about prayer then. In our scripture reading, Moses with Joshua went to the top of the mountain, apparently, I'm assuming, to pray, just like one plasticit behind us. And it says a cloud covered the mountain for 6 days. Then, on the seventh day, God called out to Moses from the cloud. And when the Israelites looked from below at the mountain, the glory of the Lord looked like, and I quote from the translation that Margot read, like a devouring fire. Sounds pretty intimidating. Then Moses went into the cloud and prayed for a long time. 40 days and 40 nights, neither eating nor drinking, Moses listened to God's instructions. And during this time, Moses received the Ten Commandments and the law. It goes on for several chapters. Then later in Exodus chapter 34, the scriptures state that whenever Moses spoke to the Israelites, after praying with God, he would put a veil over his face to cover the glory of God that was shown thereon. And no, this was not a case of Moses forgetting to put on enough matte powder makeup to diminish his shiny skin caused by a breakout of acne. No, the glory of the Lord being shown on Moses' face was symbolic of a literal interface between God and God's messenger, Moses. Friends, in Exodus, it was demonstrated that to be almost a human light bulb, remember our banner here, to be a human light bulb was the physical manifestation of the occurrence of an epiphany, a divine revelation. Wisdom passed on from God to God's chosen one. It's as if Moses himself became the light bulb, the epiphany. Now, I would like to point out that it is during the 40 days and nights that the Israelites had, of course, many nights wherein I presume they had many sleeps, approximately 40. And during these sleeps and in between, they grew impatient with Moses' absence. And during the nights, they experienced what I'm going to refer to as spiritual narcolepsy. They forgot how God and Moses were leading them. They forgot the instructions given to them before Moses and Joshua ascended the mountain. During those nights and during those sleeps, they drifted away. They went their own direction during the 40 days and 40 nights. And during that time, they built the golden calf of idolatry. Now, in our Christian scripture, the story for the transfiguration of Jesus, it is told to convey the same story that we hear in Exodus. But it is Jesus who becomes the new Moses. And all of the same parallels are there, but with a few small but very important changes. Instead of Joshua, it is Peter, James, and John that accompany Jesus. And they go up a high mountain. And like Moses, Jesus' face glowed bright. That interface with God, his face glowed and shone brightly with the glory of God. But unlike Moses, not just Jesus' face glowed, but rather his entire body. All of his clothes became bright like the sun. In Matthew's gospel, we have the recurring motif of the voice of God coming out of a cloud, speaking to Jesus and the disciples, just as God spoke to Moses out of the cloud. And like the Israelites, the disciples are shown to be susceptible to snoozing. Peter suggests to God that he should set up camp by erecting tents, so perhaps that everyone could get some rest. And I think this is what is curious, you know. When I have always read commentaries, or myself, even when I have preached on the Transfiguration, often Peter is sort of being characterized as a moron, just sort of not knowing what to say. So, let's build tents, let's set up tabernacles, let's build some sort of shrine. Peter is sort of portrayed to be a nincompoop. Or another common interpretation that I myself has preached on is that Peter and the disciples just want to sort of freeze frame the moment, keep everything glorious and wonderful so that they could stay within the theophany. And that they want to sort of remain in the status quo and not go down the mountain to their previous life. And I hear those interpretations, but when I read Exodus, I'm thinking, you know, Peter wasn't so silly. You see, Peter knew the scriptures so well. Peter knew the story from Exodus so well that he rightly put together in his mind God, the mountain, the shiny face, and the cloud, and he, I think, logically assumed that they might be there for 40 days and for 40 nights. Putting up a tent isn't that bad of an idea. I realized for the first time. But in wanting to sort of erect these tents, Peter was recognizing that his and the other disciples' attention spans were short, just like the Israelites, that they were prone to getting tired, as would you and I after 40 days and 40 nights, that they were likely to want to sleep, and therefore they might begin to forget that which they have learned and heard before. Well, I did a little bit of research. Narcolepsy is a neurological disorder wherein one's ability to wake and sleep is affected. People with narcolepsy have excessive, uncontrollable daytime sleepiness. This happens to me after I eat lunch. People with narcolepsy go into REM, rapid eye movement, and they sleep almost immediately in the sleep cycle, and sometimes when they're awake. Friends, this morning I am warning us that what can happen neurologically can happen spiritually. As we journey to the cross and to the resurrection during Holy Week, during these next 40 days and 40 nights, it will be difficult to not go to sleep. We will want to build tents. We'll want to go back to our regular life to continue the status quo, and we will likely forget that which we have learned during Epiphany. Friends, from this coming Wednesday, we will enter the season of Lent, 40 days and 40 nights. We will begin the same journey to Easter as undergone by the Israelites for 40 days and 40 nights when Moses and Joshua were on top of the mountain. And we, just like the Israelites, will get a little lackadaisical. We will get bored waiting. We will get distracted. We will get sleepy. And we, like the Israelites, will want to go our own way. We will, during these next 40 days until Easter, be susceptible to spiritual narcolepsy, whereby we will forget all of the spiritual lessons taught to us by Bonnie Gervin, by the Reverend Lee Moore, Holly Kennedy, Steve Munda, Laura Slate, and Jennifer Ambler. And that is why, because we are susceptible to spiritual narcolepsy, that is why this Lent we will hand out calendars on Shrove Tuesday and Ash Wednesday to help keep us focused, to prevent us from getting sleepy, to keep us from wanting to build tents and keeping the status quo, and to prevent our predisposition to suffer from forgetfulness and spiritual narcolepsy. As you all well know, at Jesus' greatest hour of need, the disciples fell asleep in the garden. This was the word of God, and it was delivered to the people of God, and the people of God responded, Amen.